Mishnah writes in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Al Shisha Chodoshim Hashluchim Yotzim. On six times during the year, the Sanhedrin used to dispatch Shluchim, messengers, to inform all the communities that were in the Gola, in the diaspora, of the date on which Rosh Chodesh was established for that month. One of the months that the Shluchim were dispatched, it says in the Mishnah, Al Avim Ne'atainis, the month of Av, in order to make sure that everyone observes the Tainis of Tisha B'Av on the appropriate date. The Mishnah continues, U'Shaya B'Samidrish Kayam Ho'yotzim Gam Al Iyar Ne'Pesach Kotim. Mishnah says that when the B'Samidrish was extant, they also would send messengers during the month of Iyar to allow people who lived in the Golan, the diaspora, to travel to the Beis HaMikdash in order to observe Pesach Sheni. The Gemara has Tekashi here. Why doesn't the Sanhedrin communicate the precise dates of Tammuz and Teves to the diaspora to make sure they observe the fast days that occur in those months? Answers the Gemara. Mai dichsi, ko ma Hashem, tzom harvi v'tzom hachamishi, that's the Pasuk in Zechariah, that the fast days of the fourth month and the fifth month are going to be observed as Yom Tovim. Yiu lebeis Yehuda lesosu lesimcha. So the Gemara is commenting on the conflicting metaphors that exist over here. Kori lehu tzom, v'kori lehu sosu v'simcha. The Gemara says on the one hand, the term tzom is used, a fast day. On the other hand, it says sosu v'simcha. So how do you reconcile these conflicting desiderata? So the Gemara answers, Yalav Zman Sheyesh Shalom, Yiu L'Sosim L'Simcha. When there's a time of Shalom, then these days will become days of Sosim L'Simcha. Ein Shalom Tzom. But if there is no Shalom, then there'll be Tzom, there'll be a fast day. So the Gemara then explains what this means. Omra Apopo, Hachi Ka'omra. Zman Sheyesh Shalom, Yiu L'Sosim L'Simcha. The Gemara said there are three different madregos. Madrego number one is a madrega of shalom. During the time of shalom, there'll be sasam v'simcha. Yesh gzera sa malchus, if however, there's a gzera of the malchus, then chas v'shalom, tzom, there will be fasting. Ein gzera sa malchus v'ein shalom. What about neither of the two? No gzera sa malchus and no shalom. Ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. Then it seems to be a function essentially of whether we want to fast. Each community decides on its own whether they're going to fast or they're not going to fast. Now, since the tzomos of Tammuz and Teves are optional, so that's why they did not dispatch messengers on those months. The Gemara then asked Akasha, why is the months of Tammuz and Teves are treated differently than that of Av? Why is it that Shulchan was sent during the month of Av, as if the observance of Tisha B'Av is also optional, and not during Tammuz and Teves? And for the Gemara, Omer HaPapa, Shiny Tisha B'Av, Hoil Duhuch B'Lubot Saras. The Gemara said Tisha B'Av is mandatory at all times. Why? So many calamitous events, so many tragedies occurred on Tisha B'Av during different periods of time in our history. Yadua is a rather lengthy list of all the terrible, terrible tragedies of Klal Yisrael, Dafka on Tisha B'Av. So there's a very famous Machlokes Rabbi Shainim on this Gemara, Machlokes Rabbi Chananel on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand. It's basically all the Rishonim against the Rambam. Ein Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh. Anyway, so here, the Rabbeinu Chananel has a very interesting interpretation. I'll read just part of it. Derech Agav, I'll just mention, I just reminded myself that in the Agodah, that the Baal Agodah says in the Bracha before the second case of Baal Yisrael, he says over there, Yagienu L'mayadim B'lirgolim Acherim. What in heaven's name is the Golem Acherim? We ask Hashem, He'll bring us the Moyadim, the Golem Acherim. Sosim, Bevinyan Yerecha, Smechim, Abed Asecha, Lech Hashem, whatever Girsa you have, Zvachim, 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 etc., etc. So the Rizkov, I heard from Absalovichik, he said his uncle understood the Golem Acherim, perhaps refers to new Yomim Tovim that will be established in that the fast days of Tisha B'Av, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah, will be converted to days of celebration. Days of Yom Tov. That's what that passage is referring to. L'mayadim v'l'gadim acherim. It'll become a regal. A reference to Pesukim Zechariah and the Gemara Shoshana. Back to the Rabbi Nechanan. So now back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says here, "Bizman sheyesh shalom, yield the sasin and the simcha, ain't shalom tov." So most Rishonim assume that what are we talking about? The period of the Bayis Sheni. The era of the Bayis Sheni was a period of yesh shalom. So in that period of time, neither Tisha B'Av nor any of the other Taniyos were observed as fast days. On the contrary, there were days of Yom Tovim, there were days of celebration. And it's interesting that you don't have really, as far as I know, any reference in the Gemara or in Medrash to those days being celebrated as Yom Tovim. I'm not familiar with it. Even for what I understood, I asked someone who has competence in this area, even the Svarim HaChitzonim, he told me you don't find such a reference to that idea. On the contrary, the Gemara tells us, also a famous Gemara in Tainus, that Tu B'Av was celebrated as the Yom Tov. It never mentions that the Tisha B'Av was also similarly celebrated. And yet, this view is accepted by Melzer Gedolei Rishonim. Rashi, by the way, understands Yesh Shalom. Rashi says here, Le'osir Behesped V'Tainus. That's what Rashi understands. You can't eulogize in those days. You have to abstain from food and drink. And Rashi basically is toning down the semantics of the Sasa and the Simcha. So Rashi also is obviously troubled by the same issue. There's no record of these somos being observed as Yom Tovim in the time of the second Mishnah. So Rashi simply interprets the Sos and the Simcha as an Issa Hespivitis. And then the Rapapa goes on. There are two other stages. I mentioned there are three stages. Stage number two, Yesh Gzer Samalchus Tzom. That if there's a Gzer Achman Litzan, then we fast. Stage number three, Ein Gzer Samalchus Vein Shalom. Neither of the two, Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Ein Misanim. So it comes out, according to Rapapa, the entire almost 2,000 years of Golus following the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash can be classified as one of two units. The first unit is called Ein Gzer Samalchus Vein Shalom. And then the din is Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Ein Misanim. So during that time, we can assume that Klal Yisrael didn't live in relative peace and prosperity, were not subject to persecution. And then fasting on the Arba Tzomim is optional. The second unit is Yesh Gzer Samalchus Tzom. Then we were subjected to persecution, and then the observance of the Dalet Tzomim would be mandatory. So in sum, the obligation to observe the Arba Tzomim depends on the particular physical or economic conditions that are at that time in vogue, at any particular time, and the decision whether or not to observe the Tzomim depends on our mazel, whatever situation happens to be extant at that point in time. So the inference that I believe can be drawn is that events that occurred long ago, that the Churban HaMikdash, cannot per se be classified under the halachic definition of tzara. If they can be defined as tzara, you wouldn't have to take into account all the relevant conditions at that particular time, and the Arba Tzomos would always be mandatory. Kanimeh said you can't classify historical events per se as a tzara, which would precipitate the tightness. But tzara means a new, fresh catastrophe that strikes suddenly, and the impact of it is jarring, and it crushes our emunah in Hashem Yisbarach. Tzara is a disaster which is unknown. So again, the Churban, as I said, does not necessarily it happen. This is one of the issues that is often raised, that it happened so many hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Why today are we, in effect, Yoshe B'Tainus on Tisha B'Av? Of course, the assumption is that it's the ultimate root of all of our suffering, the Churban HaMikdash, the end of the Shechinah. Okay, this is the Rabbi Chananel and the Rashba, most we show them. The Rambam, in his Pirsha Mishnah, the Rambam writes the following. He has a different resolution of this question. Uvabayi Sheni, Lohoye Misane, Lo Yudzayim B'Tamiz, Lo Yud B'Tevis. Rambam said in the second HaMikdash, it was not mandatory to fast. Ela Misho Yerotze, Hayy Misane, Misho Lo Yerotze, Lo Yud Misane. Whoever wanted to fast, could fast. Whoever didn't want to, didn't fast. Nire, says the Rambam, Kimisha Nasan Beyonim HaMechira. They were given free choice. Rotzu Misanin, Rotzu Ein Misanin. Even though they had the option of not fasting on Tisha B'Av, the Rambam says that they actually fasted on Tisha B'Av during the Bayis Sheni. Because of all the tzaras, all the tragedies, that's what the Gemara said that I quoted earlier, Shiny Tisha B'Av, the Huch B'Lov El Tzaras. Many, many Tzaras on Tisha B'Av, and they have, according to the Rambam, this period of time, Bayin Sheni, is characterized as Eng Zeras Malchus Beit Shalom, Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Ein Misanim. The observance of the Dal Taniyos is optional during that period, but even when it's optional, a person who is Misaneh, one who fasts, certainly has a Kiyum of a Taigis. It's a Yom Tzom. It's not simply abstaining from Ochel, from eating and drinking, but rather it means that a person who fasts on that day certainly will get a Kiyum of a Taigis. So during the second Beis Hamikdash, a person who fasts on Yizai B'Tamas or Asar B'Tavis realized the Kiyum of a Taigis. In other words, it's not that period of time is characterized as Bizman She'eh Shalom, Yul HaSasin and Simcha, but rather, Bizman She'eng Zeres Malchus Ve'eng Shalom, that's the period. Ubechalza, the Rambam says, that even though it was optional, but Tisha B'Av was a Yom Tainus. Tisha B'Av, even during Bayin Sheni, they clearly accepted it as a mandatory fast day, and the other Taniyos remained optional, and that's why the Mishnah says, Shluchim was said only during the month of Av, and not during the month of Tevis and Tammuz. That's how the Rambam interprets this Gemara, and the Rambam applies the rule of Bizman She'eng Zera Ben Shalom to the 4 centuries during which the second Beis Hamikdash existed. Rabbi Hananel, the scholar, he says, no, that period is the Zman of Yesh Shalom, and the Mela, neither Tisha B'Av, nor any of the other Taniyas were observed during that time. Very fundamental. Machlokes of Rishonim. The position of Rabbi Hananel is the one that's accepted by most Rishonim, but there are many issues with Rabbi Hananel. One of the issues is raised by the Bali Atesis in Tainus Daf Yud Beis, because the Gemara tells us a very famous Gemara. I'm Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadok, and even the Banam shall Sana ben Binyamin. I'm among the descendants of Binyamin. Pam Achas Tal Tisha B'Av Lias V'Shabbos. Gemara is talking about Korban Eitzim, the day that he used to bring wood to the Beis Hamikdash had a din of a Yomtiv. So therefore, he said, I'm from the descendants of Binyamin, and we observe the holiday on the 10th day of Av, because that was the day that we offered the Korban Eitzim. And one time, Tisha B'Av was Chal on Shabbos, the 9th of Av occurs on Shabbos, which means that the observance of the Tisha B'Av is going to be on the next day, on Sunday. V'dachinu l'achar HaShabbos, v'lo hishlamnu, neshayomtiv shalonu hayom, the Korban Eitzim, that was a Yomtiv, so they were docha the observance of Tainis till Sunday, but since the 10th of Av was our previously scheduled Yomtiv, we weren't obligated to observe the day as a fast day, so what do we see? That we're talking about the incident that deals with the Yomtiv observed by this Mishpacha each year, on the 10th day of Av, the day after Tisha B'Av, was the day upon which they were donating wood to the Beis Hamikdash. It occurred while the second Beis Hamikdash still existed. So Tosfos obviously says, what do you see? That Tisha B'Av was observed during the Bayin Sheni. It was canceled for this Mishpacha when Tisha B'Av occurred on Shabbos, but was observed on the next day. So Tosfos answers that the Yomtiv of Korban Eitzim was observed by this Mishpacha even after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And that's a bit of a problematic answer. It doesn't seem to be consistent with the Pashim Pshat and the Gemara. But the Rambam's view is very consistent. The Shitas of Rambam, as I said, that regarding Bayin Sheni and Tisha B'Av, and the truth is, if you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah, the Fiyan Yuzdai, it supports the Shitas of Rambam. The Mishnah says, Al Shisha Chadoshim HaShlucha Yotzim. For 6 different occasions, Sarebim used to send Shluchim to inform communities of the diaspora, the date on which Rosh Chodesh was established. Alob Ne'atainis, that refers to Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah doesn't say here that when the Beis Hamikdash was extant, they were not dispatched during Av, but were instead dispatched in Iyar. The Mishnah simply said the Beis Hamikdash existed, they were dispatched in Iyar in addition to being dispatched in Av. The mashmos is that Tisha B'Av was observed both prior and following the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. Okay, that's a famous issue which I thought it's important to be aware of. One of the famous questions, which is asked kimat by all of the, even the Dovei HaPoskim talk about it, why is it necessary to be misabel, to have avelos of an event that is so distant, so in the past, literally thousands of years ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, why is it that current disasters are linked somehow with the destruction of the Churban HaMikdash? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal asked this question a number of times. I heard him give a number of answers over in different Tisha B'Avs. Once he said that the Rambam basically does not disagree with the other Rishonim conceptually. The Rambam agrees that Av Tzemes are linked with sufferings and struggles that threaten Klal Yisrael right now, and they should be determined by current conditions, not by historical events. But the Rambam holds that even in times which would otherwise be called, what the Gemara says here, Bizman Shein Shalom Veng Zera, even when we're not being persecuted, but all these Taniyos are still mandatory. Because we have never really enjoyed freedom and prosperity ever. Throughout history, there was never any interlude for pain and suffering. That's what the Goyim Davyonos and Alper and Shlita said last night. That historically, it's never almost been a situation that we were entirely free from persecution, from oppression. It's an ongoing event. Somehow, no matter where we are, somewhere on the face of the earth, on the globus, Jews are subjected to tyranny and subjected to persecution. And the pain of one community has to be borne by all of Klal Yisrael as well. Ima anochi b'tzara, we share each other's tzar. And therefore, the characterization of Ein Zera Ben Shalom is not determined by each community separately. Ein Zera Ben Shalom has to embrace the entire Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael are involved in this, and there always are people who are in distress, and therefore all the Avraham Taniyos have to be observed. That's one suggestion which Rav Soloveitchik said, and which more or less we heard last evening from the Goyim, from Avinu and Alpin Shlita. Rav Soloveitchik said a second explanation on another occasion. He was medayik with Lashon HaRambam. When the Rambam speaks about the Arba'at Taniyos that are intertwined with, as the Rambam said, V'yazeh, won't be the entire Rambam, Zikara l'maaseinu haroyim. What's the whole idea? That we should remember. The halachic definition of memory is not just a question of something that happened, shall we say, ages ago, and it's not relevant today. Rav Soloveitchik used to cite the famous pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which is quoted in the Malchus, Tefillah, that the Navi compares Klal Yisrael to Ephraim. And Ephraim, we know, is Yelet Shashuin, is a child that you dandle, that you play with. Kimi de dabribo, zocher eskuenu lo, alkein homo mea ilo, rachem rachmenu nu mashem. So Rav Soloveitchik has the kashi, which is asked by all the Mefarshim of Tanakh. Kimi de dabribo, when I speak about Ephraim, zocher eskuenu lo, I remember Ephraim. So the sequence of the pasuk is not in order, because first the person has zechira, first the person remembers, then he verbalizes it, that zechira that he has. Why does the pasuk say, Kimi de dabribo, zocher eskuenu lo, pum faker? It says, when I think about, when I speak about Ephraim, then I remember Ephraim. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested a very fascinating explanation, that here the word zechira does not mean the way we normally translate it. To remember, this is Yadua, the Ramban in Chumash, the Ramban on the pasuk of Zochas Yom HaShabbos Lekatcha. The Ramban there develops a very beautiful, an absolutely fantastic concept, idea. Shabbos is an ongoing kind of event. Every day we say, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. Many have a practice, I saw this myself as a kid, I don't see it today anymore, that before they say that the Yom, the Shir Shal Yom, which is normally we begin by Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, first they say the pasuk, Zochas Yom HaShabbos Lekatcha. Maybe the Rav saw it. And Nochdem, I'm referring to the Rav sitting in front of me, first they say Zochas Yom HaShabbos Lekatcha, and then we say Ayom Yerushim B'Shabbos, Ayom Sheni B'Shabbos. But Tekiim Daraisa, Tekiim Daraisa of Zohar Yom HaShabbos Lekatcho. That's what we're doing every day by mentioning each day, and we're looking forward to the Shabbos. Shabbos being the very center of our existence, the very center of our Emunah. The Yisrael Emunah, the Ramban writes, in Chiddush HaOlam, Hashem created the world, and the fact that we have this ongoing kind of event. It's interesting, the Rav used to point out the chiddush between Zohar with the participle, that's a lashon of the Ramban also, Ramban Chumash. Amor la'em, the Brichas Kohen, it's an ongoing kind of event. Zohar, as opposed to the imperative, the tzivui, Zichor, which is a one-time kind of event. So here, the Tzedra HaSoloveitchik perhaps has the pshat over here, that just like Zohar Yom HaShabbos Lekatcho is an ongoing Zechira, 24-7, every single day, by mentioning the day of the week, we are in fact fulfilling that mitzvah da'isa of Zohar Yom HaShabbos Lekatcho. So here the Navi Yemiyo, the Navi is saying, Kimi de dabribo, when I speak about Ephraim, Zohar eskirenu lo. Zohar doesn't mean to remember, it means to cherish, to anticipate, to long for, lead gageya, to have a tshuka for Shabbos, to have a tshuka of Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are in a love relationship. It's a romantic relationship. It's a relationship of unbelievable ahava, that we are considered to be whether the Shem Basa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what the term is Vera, and Moshe Kodavera writes, we are the, in effect, the closest kin, the closest relative of Hashem is Barak. So, Kimi Dei Davribo, Zohar Eskirenu Lo. So, HaSavetchi suggested perhaps that's the reason why we are still involved with Chuban HaMikdash. Zohar remembers, that denotes actually a kind of resilience that enables us to preserve over many centuries all the impressions, all the impacts, all the evidence that we collected throughout the millennia. Zocha means determination. We are the Malam Nazman. Am Yisrael is the Am of Netzach. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaked, the Navi says. We cannot, nothing is going to be buried, nothing is going to, in fact, everything will endure. And Moshe Rabbeinu is, Moshe Gemara says that, it's a Zoya actually. Moshe Rabbeinu lo meis. Moshe Rabbeinu did not die. Because the Gemara says, in the tightness, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. V'chi b'chidi, sotu saptanaya, v'chantu chanotayu, the Gemara asked the kasha. But we, in our understanding, Zohar is the human, superhuman courage, I would say, to run counter to common sense practice. And in effect, we still connect with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Avraham Avinu, with Yitzhak Avinu, with Yaakov Avinu, with the Amos, with the Imos. Our Zechira is Lamadam and Azman. We are way beyond anything. And that's why the Salocha, Bechol Dor Vador, Chai Vodam, Lirus Hasatzmo, the way the Rambam says, Kilu, Achshav, Ato Yotzo Mi Mitzrayim, Shenema, the Rambam calls him Psukim, the Rambam Psukim, Kuf Tezayin over there. The whole point is that each of us has to relive the Tishuba, relive the Churban. That's the Yushalmi in Yuma, called Dor Shalom Nidre, Samidish Biyamav, Kilu Echriva. Any door that was not Zechet to the rebuilding of the Beis Amidosh, Ki'ilu, the Churban Abayit actually occurred right now. And even though we know the Kriya is only Bishas Chimon, as far as being Korea, that's what the Rosh points out over here in Maseches Tainis and the Rabban in Teras HaOdom, that there are two different types of Avelos, the Gemara in the moment, Shani Avelos, Chadosh, and Avelos Yishona. And here we're talking about Avelos, which of course is historical Avelos. And at the same time, there's no din of Kriya per se, because there's only a Shas Chimon. However, we are constantly reenacting the Churban HaMikdash, that's what we're doing. We're, in effect, reliving the Churban HaMikdash. That's my comment, if I can make, that someone... it's become more common today. People have difficulty connecting to the Churban HaMikdash, have difficulty connecting to something that happened so many hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And we know that kinos have been said for... Baruch Hashem, we've been able to say kinos, and we hope that Rebbeinu Shlomo will... Each year, someone mentioned to me, Abaye Rendel Shlita mentioned to me, and Rav Salvechi also referred to this. It's also mentioned in the kinos, about every year they will put the kinos in Sheamus. This is the last year we're going to say kinos, and I actually saw this myself when I was a kid. Mamish, they put the kinos in Sheamus. And the Shul Adabin, that's what they did. And then they had to buy new kinos every year. Shuzuka Mashmo. So that is something that we are a very strong Ravuna, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to, Yitz Hashem, build the Beis HaMikdash, Bekarov. But people had difficulty, and Baruch Hashem, over a period of time, I remember when I was growing up as a kid, we didn't know what we were talking about. We just, Bezok Velta, and Adish Vashtan Gomish. We understood nothing of what we were saying. Then Baruch Hashem, they began to translate the keynotes into English, and then after that, then they provided all kinds of much more profound explanations, and even lomdis, if you will, in the keynotes. And then we have Rav Soloveitchik, who introduced the idea of explaining the keynotes, which became very popular, and we continue to move ahead in our, shall we say, development of the keynotes and the like. And Ad Kedei Kach, where today you have actually people who have a kumzitz on Leil Tisha B'Av, has become very, very common. And even though Lefi Ani Yizdaiti, that's not exactly what I think Chazal had in mind, at least according to my understanding, but I'm trying to chill out as best I can. And therefore, maybe we have to also even be cognizant of that phenomena and try our best to see if we can make the whole concept of Tisha B'Av something relevant to all of us, to every individual, and Meinav Yatzokein, and it's not a simple thing. I wanted to comment on just a number of items that I found primarily in the Agadas of Shas that relate to the Churban HaMikdash. As mentioned by Rav Yonasan Alperin Shlita last night, and even if you look in the, every year I have a practice for many, many years to learn the Sugya of Kamsa Bakamsa. I probably learned it tens and tens of times in my life, and with every Marsha and every Maral, I'm not a Maral person, but here I learned the Maral on it as well. It's really amazing to see all the limudim that one can actually derive from the story of Kamsa Bakamsa. I'll just mention a few of them, and number one, Chazal speak a lot about the Midah of Gaiva. The Midah of Gaiva, of course, is a terrible Midah. The Rambam tells us that the Rambam is medayik for the Loshen of the Mishnah. Me'ayin me'ayin he'mishvah ruach. That a person, that's why the double Loshen. Why does it say me'ayin me'ayin? So the Rambam, who has the idea of the golden mean, that one should strive to really reach a kind of pshara, between the extremes, and everyone who comes to certain midot, the Rambam says you have to avoid them like the plague. One of them is the midot of Gaiva. The Gemara says in Soita, Talmud Chacham can have a Shemitah Shem Shminis. We're surrounded by, unfortunately, politicians who have 100% Gaiva. That's all they have. 100% Gaiva. The whole Chetz is a Chetz of Gaiva. Pushes are something that's blown up out of proportion, that's totally inflated, mamish, they have no concept of anova. But we're supposed to have, at best, a Shemitah Shem Shminis. Gaiva is a terrible midah. So here the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara actually has a number of stories, and just one story I'll just mention with reference to this Bar Dereima, and the Gemara, there's Yushalmi in Tainis that speaks about Bar Kuziva, and also tremendous, unbelievable Gaiva. And the Gaiva we see here as well from Titus HaRasha. Titus HaRasha, that he went ahead, it's very fascinating. Ma also, the Gemara speaks about a Shrekha Maisa that he did in the Beis Hamikdash, Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yitzias Sefer Torah, he violated the Achmel Litzlan, the Kiddush Kadoshim, not Osayev, Gides HaPoeches, and Ksobe, he thought that he latterly, Achmel Litzlan, the Gehal Gim Yevishtam, that he killed Hashem Yisbarah, Shagun Tzorecha, Bekerem Moadechot, the Pshiva Gaiva, and the Chazal speaking about Niyutza, Begidu, Fisho, Osa, Rosha, how could the Yevishtam be Soivel? This kind of behavior, this kind of jarring and absolutely pure Gaiva behavior, and that's the Milo the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's able to contain himself. Mikomecha ve'ilim Hashem, mikomecha ba'ilmin. As Gemara on Ilim. Ilim shall iftach peh, where the Gemara Gittin has earlier. So the Gemara here that tells us that, and then when he went down, Baruch Hashem, so how is he described? Yatzar Basko v'yamra, Rasha ben Rasha. Ben Benoit Shalisa Marosha. The Eishtah is going to take a barrier kala to his Baal Gaimanik and put him down, Yitushma. And that Yitush is going to knock out B'mecha Shem Ashonim for 7 years. Take this Baal Gaiva down, a little Yitush, Agonish Begonish. And that's exactly what is being underscored over here, this terrible, terrible Midah of Gaiva. So the Gemara also speaks about, as I mentioned a moment ago, Badroima and Bakusiva, the Yushalmi Tainis. Unbelievable. People were simply, their gaiva was simply out of control. And that's something that we have to try to go to the other extreme. And something, and even the Kamsa by Kamsa already, the Rishonim explain, and the Mepharshim say, this also was a tremendous gaiva. According to many, the Rashi says it was Abu B'nai. It was a father and son. It's also mentioned by Ben Yoyada. Many others assume that we're talking about a father and son. And somehow, both of them are shouldering. Both of them are guilty for the behavior which was absolutely mind-boggling. And here that's what the Marashah points out. Duk Sheba'ayim, Niv Shebesvasayim, here you have Loshin Hora and Ayin Hora. Unbelievable. Also Ayin Hora, largely based on Gaiva. Again, the same Midah that's again being expressed here, and Loshin Hora, of course, which was responsible for Rachman al-Litzan, for the Chuban HaMikdash. So these are qualities that we have to somehow avoid, like the plague, and go to the other extreme. Fascinating that the Gemara here speaks about, I'll contrast two personalities. One, the Gemara speaks about Marta Bas Baisus. And Marta Bas Baisus, she was Asirosa of Yerushalayim, one of the wealthiest women who lived in the city of Yerushalayim. And the Gemara here, as well, tells us the story with her, with Marta Bas Baisus, that she was someone who was so wealthy. That's what also Rav Alperin spoke about last night, Barichus, about materialism and pursuing materialism. And running after materialism, there's a Kleyaka and Chumash in Dvarim. That the Gemara says, that one should not strive. Of course, we all have to make panosa, we all have to live undoubtedly, but running after materialism and material goods and trying to accumulate them, person needs basics, and that's what a person should strive to live, an elementary, simple, more frugal kind of lifestyle. He's already on him. Shemem takes a Torah. That's Gemara Nedarim. That we see that we know that people who are from the Bnei Anim, they're the ones who are zeich ultimately to become Talmidei Chachamim. But they're Meisa Nefesh, and without Meisa Nefesh, one is not going to be zeich to any Madrega of Talmud Torah at the highest of level. So here the Gemara speaks about Ma'ade Bas Baisus, and she sends out a shliach. I remember my father Moshe was always bothered the shliach on Ishkatin Seichel because he sees the matzav out there. And she's looking for a certain kind of flower. It's not there. You have to come back. But Chazal says, Chazal Shriach Oseh Shechusa. But Tyson says, that only applies to the Isis. I don't think we're talking about the Isis over here. But also, the Hadishka can say home to understand, to see the Noilad and know that there's nothing available. Get what's available for goodness sakes. as opposed to going ahead and being makpid and all kinds of things. So this matter of basis, finally, the pasuk says, Haraka b'chava anuga, ashal nisa chafragla mihatzeg al oretz. That she was so sensitive and such a mefuneket and so squeamish and so fastidious that the Chazal described here that something entered something her foot and she was nifter because she simply didn't have the wherewithal to handle it. She's now Sirosa Dushalayim, and what did she do at the end? All her money, gold and silver, kaspa mechutzas yashlicho, all thrown to Poshit, thrown to the wind because it had no value whatsoever. That's the Perek and Tillim that said in the Beis Avel, same exact idea, same exact yisod, that and the Gemara in Gittin, and so many Gemara, the first Perek of Gittin, so many ideas that I found in Chazal about money, that's not what a person should strive for. So here we have her, and I contrast her with Rab Tzadok. Rab Tzadok, who fasted 40 years, that the Churban HaMikdash should not happen. Azan Nova, Azan Tzidkus, and then in order to, after 40 years, and that's one of the three things that the Beit HaMikdash asked the Roman Emperor, Tene Yabne v'chachamea, Shushuv Rabbi Gamliel, Asbosa, who can heal Rab Tzadok. The contrast with these two personalities, unbelievable contrast. The Tzidkus of Rab Tzadok, and then contrasted with Marta Bas Baisus, whether she was married to the Kohen Gadol, not married to the Kohen Gadol, like answer discussion among the Mefarshim, the Gemara and Yuma. But here you see again two types of personalities, and then the third idea, which I think is also very significant. You have here Bilyonim. Oh boy. As Asach is talking about the Bilyonim. Bilyonim, Barachti Abechel Metzakai, his nephew. Abba Sikra, he's the nephew of Abechel Metzakai, and they decide they're going to take on the Roman Empire. What's the problem? We're armed to the hilt. We have some weaponry. We have stashes of weapons, caches of weapons. We can take on the whole Roman Empire. What's the point? We're not going to make shalom with the Roman Empire. And here you see, you have Avichai Metzakai, a nephew of Avichai Metzakai. That was another pellet. A nephew of Avichai Metzakai has Azah Asoga, and he realizes, though, who his uncle is, and therefore he's a bit more reserved, a bit more kafuf to his uncle, the Dali Ador. And they felt that they had to go ahead and take on the Roman Empire. Meanwhile, in order to make sure that nothing will happen, which will be not in their favor, they go ahead. There are three wealthy people in Eretz Yisrael who can more or less supply and be mefarnes the whole country. They took care of that, burned everything down, all the storehouses, and this way to make sure that we're going to push will come to the fore, and push will come to shove, as it were, and such a tishtush. That's what the guy last night spoke about too. He spoke about, he calls it smudging. He's an Englishman. I don't understand his language. But anyway, smudging, he called it. A tishtush of tchumen. The people whose values are not completely in order. And the reason why they're not in order, because they're not shakua in the arachim of Torah. They're not sufficiently knowledgeable about the values of Torah. And unfortunately, tishtush occurs. Tishtush means there's a confusion. They're bewildered. They're flummoxed. They somehow don't have a clarity in the ashkofa. A cloud in Ashkava only comes about after learning and learning and learning, being Mishamish Gedol Yisrael, and these are the Binyanim that are described over here by the Gemara Gittin. And the Gemara does not describe them in a positive kind of way. And then they even had tainus on the Avichai Metzakai. Meshech Chacham Locha B'dayti Misochel. That he should have asked much more. He should have asked that Klal Yisrael should have been preserved and the Beis Hamikdash should not have been destroyed. But as Gevena Asecha Dikah Gadol, he knew what was possible, what was not possible, what was in the realm of the possible. So he asked for three things. Tain the Yabne v'chachamea, Shushub Lam Gamliel, and Asmasa, who will be Merapi Rab Tzadok. So here again, you see from Rabbi Chaim Metzaki, what is the most important, the central element that Klal Yisrael has to be concerned about, namely the preservation of Torah. Yabne v'chachamea, and I'm not here to comment on the Shushub Lam Gamliel, we're talking about David HaMelech, the Yosef Shevim Yehuda, Mechagi Ben Maglov, Arki Abba Shila, V'lo Yikas Amin, but we're talking about the centrality of Torah in the life of a Jew, and that was the most important element that had to be maintained. And that's clear. The Hashuah of Klal Yisrael comes primarily through Torah, and that's what Chazal tell us, and that's what the Ribbono Shalom, Sos V'Sameach, the Gemara has in Yuma, the Gemara speaks about Avoseinu, that we have a long tradition of Masorah. Avram Avinu Zokein V'Yoshev Yeshiva. Yitzchak Avinu Zokein V'Yoshev Yeshiva. Yaakov Avinu Zokein V'Yoshev Yeshiva. And that's the Masorah the Rabbi describes in Perek Aleph of the Zohar that was transmitted from door to door. That literally, that everywhere they went to Babel, yeshiva imayim. They're always accompanied by yeshivas, and that's what anyone knows anything about the landscape, both in Eretz Yisrael and in America, knows that without a yeshiva, a city cannot be matzliach, cannot have atzlocha, cannot prosper, and that's why he asked for Yabne v'chachameah, and then the other elements that I mentioned a moment ago, of course, Tzadik, you see that, you see the godless of a tzadik, what a tzadik can do, a tzadik, the tefillos of a tzadik are noyo noyos, pilei ployim, can somehow literally delay a churban and delay tragedy for a period of 40 years. The godless of the tefillah of a tzadik and the impact it has on the Ribbono Shel Olam, each one of us should recognize the koach ha-tefillah. So there are many, many elements over here that are really astounding. And just to be misakeim again, the element of gaiva, as opposed to anova, the element of lashon hara, machlekes, kamsa by kamsa. The Masha and others interpret that we're talking about pirut, the term kamsa. Koimes, you take our koimes from mincha. So we're talking about being mafrid, something from something else, pirut and sina, we're talking about lashon hara, we're talking about ayin hara. Now there's another issue here which has to be discussed by Richas, but Emma speaks man. So Rashi says over here in Gittin, Sablonuso, that he was a Sablon Godol. What exactly did he hold? Seems to be a Dama Pele, that that fellow should have been eliminated. That would have been the proper thing to do. The Gemara says clearly, Rashi says it on the spot. And we shouldn't say it on the spot. So obviously, Erdke helped that it wasn't the Matzah of Miklach Nebesh. He didn't have a din of a Redev. And this is the subject of a lot of discussion among the Dolei Aposkim. There's a very famous Yamshel Shlomo, which is often quoted, and the Yamshel Shlomo in Baba Kama, in the fourth parak of Baba Kama, and perhaps the assumption here is that perhaps, even though we're talking about Mesiris Nefesh, and someone should be Mesir Nefesh, it looked like this fellow was being Mesakin all Klal Yisrael. The Mashal says that also the Saleh Divrei Torah. You're not allowed to be misalik. Misalik means to distort. Where's the Torah? And he felt, what are they going to say? People are going to say, Matabukumikotchimiharek. And that's something which is silo for the Torah. And therefore he felt he's being Mesir Nefesh. Azay Shaykh Mashal. Very famous Mashal that not allowed to be misalik Divrei Torah and not Me'avi Divrei Torah. Hagoyin HaMesha finds that Sal is Chodek on the Mashal. A famous Chuba that he has. This is the subject of the big Machlokes. So here, the issue is that in order there shouldn't be a toast in Klal Yisrael, the tzibur will be toya, and somehow that toast of Sila Divrei Torah is more common than the sakon of Klal Yisrael. That seems to be the position of Chaim and Akulus, which was clearly rejected. And they're also something that we have to be cognizant of, that we have to listen to Klal Yisrael and use their incredible seichel and sagacity and yishuv hadas to make decisions that are seicheldik. And even though we have someone who's opposed on the other side, it's possible even for someone of the stature of Chaim ben Avkulis to be betos, to make an error. And yet we see as well, as I mentioned, I'm also astounded by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to leave the city, so they wanted to make sure that the fellow was no longer living, and but they wanted to be doichev, and they wanted to go and push him, and right away, even these biryonim, Ashtikol Kamad Al-Tehu they still have. Yomu, Rabban Dokru, Yomu and Rabban Dokru, Ashtikol, unbelievable, because you grew up in the ambience of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, obviously someone walks into the Abayisim is going to be misbasing. You walk into a perfumery, you're going to come out of perfume. It always reminds me of the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara there talks about that Ishto, Shalom Ben Pelas, Itziloso, how did she save him? Because the moment she walked out and with a married woman with her hair uncovered, yeah, talking that there is someone rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu, the macht a merit against Moshe Rabbeinu, a merit against Aaron HaKohen, and yet Sab Isha Eva, Mishnah Tzubis, and Pesukim Michumish, and therefore that she was going to hold on to. So you see that light is another example that Rabbeinu Chumash discussed in the context of love. Love is in the basim of Avraham Avinu. He literally grew up in that basim, in that kind of perfumery. Obechosis, unfortunately, there's a tishtush. Again, the smudging, as he called it, a smudging of values. His values are not completely in order. He didn't spend enough time in the perfumery. He left too early. And that's what the pasuk says, that Lord Yoshi B'Shas Doim. So, but someone who's impacted and influenced by Tamnei Chachomim, by Greg Dol Yisrael, it undoubtedly will leave a Roshem. Also, the Gemara here talks a lot about being Malik of Divrei Chachomim. Rachmanu L'tzlan, the person is mezalzel, makes fun of Talmidei Chachamim, doesn't have Kavanat Torah, as one should have, that's something also that should be, that we have to be very cognizant of, and something. So there are many, many, literally many very significant lessons and basic, fundamental, really, divrei musar, that one can derive here from the Pasha, from the entire discussion that the Gemara has in the Kamtzah by Kamtzah, and it's kedai for all of us every single year to learn that sugya very carefully. There's so many limudim, so many lekachim that one can derive from in these fundamental areas, as I said, that are so basic to our hashkafa, to our understanding what Klal Yisrael is all about.